Audacity. Who gave you attitude?
The charges have been dropped against eight Vincentians who were arrested and brought to court after participating in the August protests. And more in this edition of the Caribbean News Roundup, coming right up. The St. Vincent and the Grenadines government said on Tuesday that all schools in the country were operating as normal. The statement came against the backdrop of the teachers' union urging teachers to participate in a two-day strike on Tuesday and Wednesday. NBC News had this update on their lunchtime news Tuesday.
All schools throughout St. Vincent and the Grenadines are operating as normal today, despite calls by the teachers' union for teachers to stay away from the classroom today and tomorrow. Speaking on the issue on radio on Sunday, Prime Minister Dr. Ralph Gonsalves urged the teachers to go to school. He said that the educational system is a partnership between the government, the community, parents, teachers, and students.
But one thing is absolutely clear. We have an obligation to have our children safe at school, and similarly for teachers to be in the classroom. And I want to assure the parents that all the schools would be open, primary and secondary schools, and the same thing with the early childhood education centers, which is just the government has set up and which we run, and so too would be the community college. And this thing about asking parents not to send their children to school, that's a non-starter. I just want to tell the parents, look, the teachers can't have it every which way. I'm talking about those teachers who have decided not to take the vaccine. We can't have a set of persons who want to act outside of the framework of what a duly elected government acting on behalf of the people, and decide that you're going to seek to disrupt education of the children. That's not going to happen. That's not going to be permitted. And it is entirely unreasonable and unacceptable for any teacher who is vaccinated to say that they're going to sit out or sit in or whatever. You don't work with yourself.
The Prime Minister said replacement teachers are being hired to ensure that the education of the students is not disrupted.
Still in St. Vincent, Director of Public Prosecution Sigilla McDowell has dropped charges against each of the eight people accused of illegally organizing and taking part in the August protests in Kingstown. Attorney K. Bacchus Batiste says she had anticipated that move because the action to arrest and charge these protesters had been clearly political. She said on SVGTV that the eight could now sue the government for wrongful arrest and the charges that they had leveled against them.
They have nollified all the cases involving the persons who they had arrested for been organizing the procession and also for holding a procession without informing the police, which means that they will not be offering any evidence in any of the cases, eight of them, all of them with two charges each. They would not be offering any evidence, and so that means that's the end of the matter. Of course, I am not surprised, because I always said that they will have an impossible task of proving that these persons were involved in organizing the protest. They were persons attending the protest like everybody else. And I also thought they would have a difficult position in proving also that they did it without notifying the police, because I maintain that the law does not require protesters to inform the police, as they say. And so I guess they recognized that they would have had an uphill battle to defend all these charges, and so they decided to proceed no further. It means that all of these persons who were arrested, detained in prison, were falsely imprisoned and could very well bring charges against the government for false arrest and false imprisonment and malicious prosecution. it was clear to me that these were political prosecutions and not warranted. And now we have been vindicated because the prosecution recognizes that it will be difficult to get a conviction, and therefore they decided rightly not to continue them.
Progressive Democratic Patriots Deputy Leader Fally Augustine addressed supporters Monday night after toppling the People's National Movement to take control of the Tobago House of Assembly, THA. Early figures showed the PDP won 12 districts, while the PNM managed to hold on to 3. Augustine said that in less than 5 years, the PDP was able to achieve what previous long-standing political parties could not. More on the PDP victory from TTT News.
The Progressive Democratic Patriots made a clean sweep at the polls on Monday night in the Tobago House of Assembly elections. This, according to the results from the Elections and Boundaries Commission. The People's National Movement conceded defeat through the vice chairman of the PNM Tobago Council, Dion Isaac, around 10 o'clock. In addressing his supporters, PDP political leader Watson Duke said the victory was a grassroots one.
It is not a lightning. And all of you are owners of this victory. Don't let anybody take it away from you. Don't let anybody. That's the first thing I want to say to you.
Prime Minister Dr. Keith Rowley says democracy in Trinidad and Tobago is very much alive and taken care of. In a statement, Dr. Rowley thanked the people of Tobago for 21 years of unbroken leadership, but acknowledged that the results of Monday's Tobago House of Assembly THA elections have indicated their want for change. The Prime Minister went on to say that the Progressive Democratic Patriots PDP now has a mandate to stand by its commitments on the islands to the island's population. Dr. Rowley said that in spite of their disappointment, the PNM continues to be of service and support in the development of Tobago's best interests and overall national development.
In Antigua, protesters took to a major highway on Tuesday to condemn a development they claim is destroying the environment. Members of the advocacy group, the movement, and its supporters went to the area concerned armed with placards to protest against a controversial special economic zone. Observer Radio News had this report.
The group of 25 demonstrators say mangroves and mature trees are being removed within the Western Imperial Special Economic Zone. Group spokesperson Lindley Winter says the body has been doing a lot of background work and they are of the view that the entire project should be shelved.
Just as the same would apply to Yida. When one looks at some of the contents, how offensive it is. In the first instance, everyone who lives within the country, outside of these special economic zones, you're subjected to the various taxation measures of the government. We have to pay duties of one kind or another. Both of these projects, they are exempted for the lifetime of the operations. Now, that says a lot about the people who sign on to such a thing on our behalf. Clearly, they don't have our interests at heart. That's one. Secondly, there is the sheer unsound government governance practices that this gives life to. DCA, the regulatory body that deals with construction of buildings across the country, has no jurisdiction. The Environment Department has no application.
And now the protester David Spencer told Observer the plans are unrealistic and destructive to the pristine area. Agnes Blaze, who also took part in the action, spoke about the importance of Antiguans standing up for their rights.
We got to push back. If we don't push back, nothing happens. Things only happen in Antigua when you push back. And forget about our Prime Minister. All he sees is money.
In St. Lucia, controversy over a terminated radio frequency has been met with what's described as vile rebuttals from the on-air personalities. They, despite a signed order from Telecommunications Minister Stevenson King, appear to be operating in defiance of the law. Dominica's Kyrie FM is to an extent said to be involved in the matter from the perspective of the licensing issue, as was explained in a recent report by NBC Prime News, which now revisits the controversy.
The United Workers' Party, in a November 27th statement, accused the Philip JPA administration of political victimization, censorship, and suppressing free speech, after a signed notice from Telecommunications Minister Stephenson King ordering the immediate termination of the 93.1 radio frequency was made public. The on-air personalities at 93.1 are aligned with the UWP opposition. They've since mounted a relentless, defamatory-laden tirade against select news companies who have reported on the controversy. Moreover, the terminated 93.1 radio frequency or spectrum, which is still legally owned by Nature Island Communications Corporation, Kyrie FM, is still transmitting more than a month after Minister King's signed order took effect on October 13th. The telecoms minister scoffed at UWP assertions his order was politically motivated.
The minister acts based on the determination of ECTEL and NTRC. ECTEL deals with spectrum licenses, and according to the law, it's only when the directorate of ECTEL gives the clearance that the minister can then act. What I found when I got into office was a pending situation which has been going on for a little while, and as far as Kyrie FM is concerned, like many other things which have been languishing in the doldrums for the last 5 or so years, that is only one of those which I've cleared off my desk and to deal with.
Sky Broadcasting Inc., or Sky FM, was incorporated in 2019 and has been broadcasting their various radio programs and content over the last 2 years, seemingly without the legally required authorizations from the Eastern Caribbean Telecommunications Authority, ECTEL, and the National Telecommunications Regulatory Commission, two key agencies that advises the telecommunications minister. A review of Sky FM's application to get a frequency authorization reportedly triggered the NTRC's investigation, which also revealed the license for the 107.9 and 93.1 spectrums legally owned by Kyrie FM expired in 2020. According to the October 13th notice signed by Minister King, Kyrie FM has been ordered to immediately refrain from broadcasting in St. Lucia or face a $1 million fine and even jail time for failing to comply. Now, the pathway for Sky Broadcasting Inc. to legitimize its operations would first require Kyrie FM to regularize its paperwork and settle outstanding fees owed to ECTEL. Rihanna Isidore, NBC Prime.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Wednesday, December 8th. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. At 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.